Welcome to another message from the Gospel of Mark. We're in Mark 6 and verse 38 right now. 6 and 38. We're studying the Gospel of Mark from the Greek text. And I don't want this Greek to scare you. We're studying the Bible. Our non-translation we have, it's not a translation. This is the inspired Word of God. This word that we're studying is the living Word of God from the language that it was written in and the language that it was spoken in. We know in the Gospel of Mark, Mark is probably the earliest gospel that was ever written. The Gospel of Mark was written through the eyes of Peter by John Mark, whom the Apostle Paul got very upset with. John Mark was a Judaizer along with Peter. And Paul got after them very tenaciously and abruptly, calling them down off of their Jewish high horses. If anybody had a right to be proud to be a Jew, it was the Apostle Paul. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews and a Pharisee of Pharisees. Now, we're going to talk about miracles right now. We're going to talk about a miracle of creation. In verse number 35, it says that they had already gone, and his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate and isolated place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away to go into the country and villages around." These are the little burgs and villages around about to buy themselves something to eat. And then he said, but he replied to them, "Give them something to eat yourselves." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy $200? Actually, 200 denarii. It says here in this translation about $40 worth of bread, and give it to them to eat. And now we come to our text tonight. Verse number 38. And it says here, ho dei lege, autois posus, that is, egete, artos, hipagete, edete, kai nontes, logusen, pente, kai dio exus. Now, it says, and the one he says to them, "How much, how many do you have?" Well, how many you have breads? That word artos there. Now, the word artos in modern Greek, it means holy bread. But this is not talking about holy bread. This is talking about bread. And by the way, this bread was not like bread that we have in a loaf of bread today. It was more like a great big pancake. Or a tortilla, because they would grind the bread and make like tortillas out of it, and on a type of oven most of the time. Sometimes they would put it in an oven and bake it a little bit different. But this word here is breads. How many breads? And you go and see. And having known, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. Five loaves of bread and two fish. Five loaves of bread and two fish. Now, Jesus was the creator. The Father drew up the plans. The Jesus that we know spoke him into existence. The Holy Spirit energized it. And he says to them, "How much do you have breads? You go and see." And having known, and then they having known, that's nominative plural masculine, second aorist, participle active, having known. They say, 5 pente kai dio exus. 5 bread and 2 fish. 5 loaves of bread, 5 tortillas, and 2 fish. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now, Jesus is the one that holds the whole universe together today. He says the universe was created through him. Without him, not one thing had been created or is held together. In John, the first chapter, and Colossians, the first chapter also. Now let's look at verse 39. Kai epitoxen autois anaklethene pontes somposia symposia epito chloro corto. And he commanded and instructed them. Third person singular, first aorist indicative acting. Them. To lay up. Lay up. Lay up. Anaklethene. Lay up on beds is what it is. We got a word clinic from this. Clinics are places that are full of beds. All the groups. Symposia. Symposium. We have it from this word today. This means a festive company. And festive companies, groups by groups, upon the green grass. Upon the chlorophyll, that word chloro there means green. Upon the green grass. Now, what he did here, now, when people have gardens, they put things in rows. When you plant a wheat field, you plant wheat fields in rows. And Jesus put them in rows or beds like a garden so they could be served. One row here, 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 one row here. And we're going to find out there's thousands of people that are going to be served. Now let's look and see what the Amplified says. In 38 and verse 39. And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they had looked and they knew, they completely understood, they said, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Then he commanded the people to recline on the green grass by companies. All right. Now let's look at verse number 40. They're going to line up in companies, just like an army, and like in rows, like an army, like a flower bed, like a garden, like a large cafeteria. Kai anapeson prosia prosia kata ekaton kai kata pentekonta. And they laid up. Now remember, they're not sitting at tables. They're laying up. They lay up on their left arm and reach and eat with their right arm. And they laid up in companies, in groups. Prosia. Companies by companies. Prosiai, prosiai. Kata ekton kai kata pente konta. And they reclined in companies and groups according to 100 and according to 50. 100 in a group and 50 in a group. So we have 100 group where they laid up together in 100 and in 50. Now verse number 41. Kai labon tus pente artus kai tus dia Exus. Anaplepsos. Ace ton uranu. Eulogason kai kata katklasen. Tus artos. Kai idiu. Tois mathetes. Hina paratithosen. Altois. Kai tus diu exus. Emerison possum. Now we see the creative power of Jesus. Now, Jesus emptied himself of all his powerful deity when he was on this earth. So now Jesus is going to show forth his created power, but he's doing it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's why later on, when they accused him of doing it by the power of Satan, that he accused them of the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, or the eternal sin, the unforgivable, unpardonable sin. And having received the five breads and the two fish, having looked up, eston uranon, up into heaven. Now, we're talking about singular heaven. The singular heaven that we're looking about here is he's looking up to the third heaven where the abode of God is. That eston uranon, that word ace there, extension, limitation of thought or verbal action, and that's the Greek preposition corresponding to the Hebrew eth. He looked up into the heaven. We're talking about one heaven. He looked through two heavens into the third heaven. And he said, good, eulogeson. Third person singular, first aorist, indicative active. He blessed it. And he broke it down and loosed it. He took a loaf of bread and it just tore it in pieces. He tore the breads. And he kept on giving to the disciples, to the habitual learners, in order that they might set or place alongside for them. And the two fish he divided to all. And we're going to see five loaves of bread and two fish turn into thousands of loaves of bread and thousands of fish. 642. Kai ephagon. Pontes kai exortasteison. And they ate all, and they were filled up and stuffed. They were filled up and stuffed. Literally, it was stuffed like a cow is stuffed until they can't eat anymore. Kortos means to satisfy with food, to satisfy the desire for food. Now, to satisfy hunger pains. A lot of times when I'm running around doing different things, working. I will just stuff something in my mouth to stop my stomach from hurting, or I will drink a bottle of Gatorade to just keep on going because I don't have time to eat. My wife always gripes at me because I don't have time to eat. Let's go back over here to the Gospel of Mark. And we're going to read these verses from the Amplified Bible from about verse 40. And we're going to see what the Amplified Bible says. The explanation of this translation. And they threw themselves down in ranks of hundreds and fifties with a regularity and arrangement of beds of herbs like a garden, looking like so many garden plant plots. And taking the five loaves and two fish, he looked up to heaven. Now, we know that he looked into the third heaven, don't we? Mm-hmm. He looked to the Father. And he gave thanks, and he broke the loaves and kept on giving them to the disciples to set before the people. And he also divided the two fish among them all. Mm-hmm. And they ate all, and they were satisfied. All of them were stuffed. Everybody there was stuffed to the gills, as they say. All stuffed. Kortos. They were filled plumb up, as the old boy said. 643 now. Kai eron plasamata. Duodeca. Kofinon. Pleromata. Kai, apo, ton, ex, do, on. And they carried and picked up and bore. Comes from Iro. Third person, plural, first aorist, indicative, active. And now we have the klasmata. That klasmata means pieces, broken off pieces, something that is broken off. 12, and here what we have, great big hampers, like a toll basket, great big baskets, big baskets, big hampers, fullnesses. Play romata. Filled plumb up and running over, and from the fish. How many? 12 big baskets full of fish that's left over. Mm-hmm. So what Jesus did, he took two fish, and I mean to tell you what, he multiplied them into thousands. Then we're going to find out how many. Kai, eison, hoi, Phagontes, tous artus, penteca kis ichthaloi, Andres. And they kept on being the ones eating, having eaten. They ate and they ate and they ate and they ate. The breads, 5,000 men. Now this is what we call a oklos. Oklos means 5 to 10,000. So what we have here is 5,000 men. And 5,000 men is just the beginning, because there's probably at least 5,000 women with them. And probably maybe at least 5,000 children. So how many do we have here? We have about 5 to 15,000 people being fed with two fish and five loaves, five tortillas. Should have had a fish here and five tortillas. These probably are what we call today tilapia. There were a lot of tilapia, or Peter's fish, in the Sea of Galilee, and this is around the Sea of Galilee. And they would go out there and catch these little fish, which are about this big, and there was only two of them. Now, they were maybe dried and salted, or maybe they were fresh. We do not know. But he multiplied those two fish into 20,000 fish, maybe. He tore it, and the fish just keep falling down when he blessed it. It just kept falling down. Then, in verse 45, Kai Euthus, Enakasim, Tus Mathetes, Altu, M. Bene, Eis To Ployon, Kai Pro Agen, Eis To Peron, Pros Bethesdan, Bethesden, Ius, Autos, Apalie, Ton Oklon. Now he's going to go get in the boat. And immediately, he compelled. And this word here, it we have the word agony, anage. It means to compress. It means to grab a hold of. He compelled them, the disciples, the learners of him. Now, there's a lot of disciples. There's 12 apostles, but Jesus had a whole lot of disciples, thousands of them too. Now, we have 5,000 people there plus the disciples. And then it says to embark. First aorist, infinitive active, unto. Ace, extension of limitation, thought of verbal action, that little old Greek preposition, page 119, into the boat, the little boat, and to go toward, unto the other side, toward Bethesda. 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 Until he dismissed the crowd. So he dismissed the crowd. He frum-loosed it, it says. Third person singular, present indicative active. He frum-loosed them. Apo and Leo. The crowd. Now the word crowd here, see that word oklon? Now we know that this is 5,000 to 10,000 or so people because of what it says there. An okloi means 15,000 plus. Let's go to 46 now. Verse number 46. Kai apotoxa menos altois apelthane asto oros prosuxan prosuxte. And having bid farewell, taken leave to them, he left, he departed, unto the mountain, unto the Oros. The Oros. Over there on the coast, there's a place called Oros, isn't it? What is it? Oros what? Bear Mountain. Oros means mountain. To pray. To subject himself to divine will. Jesus tired. He's tired. He's tired and he's still trying to serve the Lord, doing his best. Doing his best to try to do the will of the Father on this earth. And remember, Jesus was human, wasn't he? He's human, he's God. Both human and God. But he's limited at this period of time. He gets hungry, doesn't he? He gets tired. He gets thirsty. He wants to sleep. Let's read down here again now. After he had taken leave of them, he went into the hills to pray. Let's go back up to about number 44. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. And at once he insisted that the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side to Bethesda while he was sending the throng away, the great crowd away, the oklos. And after he had taken leave of them, he went into the hills to pray, to rejuvenate. One of the greatest privileges we have in this world is prayer. And yet God's people don't pray enough, do they? We have a privilege to pray. And Jesus teaches us so many places in the Bible when and how to pray. I asked Marilyn many times before I preach to pray that I will be able to do what God wants me to do. Because I don't feel like it. Many times my heart's bothering me, my back, my headaches or something like that, and I pray for the strength to go through another message to glorify God. And I hope I'm doing that. I hope that I'm glorifying God. I hope I brag on Jesus a whole lot. One preacher told me one time, if you can't think anything to preach, says brag on Jesus. Well, I sure try to do that. Brag on Jesus, because Jesus is our Savior. He is our God. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. Mm-hmm. Have you asked Jesus to save your soul? Have you asked him to forgive you of your sins? Is there a point of time in your life, punctiliar action in your life, where you ask Jesus to forgive you and ask you to save him? Ask him to save you, that is. Have you asked him to save you? If you haven't, you need to do it today. Now let's look on at verse number 47. Kai opsios genomenes en to ployon en meso tes talase kai autos monos, that is, epi tes geis. And evening had become. And he kept on being, or it kept on being the boat in the middle of the sea. And we're talking about the Sea of Galilee here. It's a great big lake, is what it is. And he alone upon the land. Now he was alone upon the land. Epitasis upon the land. Dry earth. Verse number 48. Kai Edon Altos. Basanizo Menos. That's a hard word. Ento Elu Enen. Ain Gar Ho Anemos. Enatios. Altos. Eperi. Tetar Tain. Philakane. This long verse. We got to go over to the next page. Tais Nictos. Erkete. Pros Altus. Peri Paton. Epites Thalases. Kai Ethelane. Parelethane. Altus. And having seen them, having been distressed, tortured. They were being tortured. Basonizomenos. Being tortured. In the... What it means here is to try to drive forward. What they're trying to do is row. They're trying to row the boat. This is a great big rowboat. But they're trying to row the boat. They kept on trying to row for the wind, the animos. It was contrary against them. About the fourth guard, the fourth watch of the night. And he comes. The fourth watch of the night. 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock. 1, 2, 3, 4. Early in the morning. And he comes, and he comes. Of the night, and he comes toward them, walking around. Peripatio. Walking around upon the water, upon the sea. And he kept on wishing to pass beside them. He was going to go around them. Going to go around them. He's walking upon the water. He's defying all of the powers of gravity, the laws of gravity. This is Jesus. This is the God-man. Jesus, the God-man. And the Holy Spirit has given him all kinds of powers to do all of this. He's defying it. We talk about walking on water. They were in the movie one time, Tombstone. Wyatt Earp went out, and you know Wyatt Earp lived a long life. He died in 1929, Hollywood, California. He was in many, many gunfights. And the one against what they call the Cowboys, that outlaw gang in Tombstone, Arizona, after they killed his brother and shot a bunch of them up, he and Doc Holliday and several others went out for revenge to make things right. Regulate things just a little bit. As my cousin Frederick Tecumseh Waite did in Lincoln County War, the regulators. They went out to regulate. When the law wouldn't take care of it, they went out to regulate it. To get things, to get action. To settle matters. Or the one seeing him upon the sea, walking around. Hoide idontes auton epites thalases peripatunta edoxon hote phantasma esten kai anekrasen. Moreover, the one seeing him upon the sea, walking around, they judged, third person plural first aorist indicative active, that this is a phantom, a ghost, a specter. This word means to shine. It's phantasma. Phantasma. A fantasy. We get from this word. We get the word specter. Phantom from this word. What we see here, they thought they had seen something paranormal. So many years ago, I know how they felt. So many years ago, about 7 miles that way, straight west, or east, that is, here in Fish Lake Valley, I saw quite a fauntisma. And it was a Bigfoot. I did not believe in Bigfoot. Did not think they lived. I didn't know. When I saw this thing, I saw it walking for a long time. I thought somebody was broke down out here because there's places are few and far between, aren't they, Marilyn? And this was 30 years ago. So this is a whole lot more places. This place here, the whole creek, was not a house on it. Nothing here. Now it's a Rodeo Drive. Hollywood and Vine. But back then there was nothing. And I saw this person walking out there, but he was a real tall guy, and I saw how he was walking. I said, well, he's broke down out there, and he's going to go around because the road went up like that and come back around, and I showed you exactly where it was, Marilyn. Mm-hmm. I saw this guy walking like that, and I said, well, he's going to cut me off over there. I'm not going to wait for him here because he's going like that, juxtaposition with me. I said, well, this is weird. I'll find out what he wants, see what's going on down there. And as I looked and watched him for several hundred yards walk, maybe a half a mile maybe walking, I saw him walking out there, and I said, he's walking like he's on dry ground and a pavement. And this is like this out there, sagebrush and everything all over. And he's walking out to there like nothing. Finally, I didn't say anything to my son. He was sitting there. Jimmy was sitting beside me and talking up a star. And I was listening to him and just being, what is that? Who is this guy? Finally, he came across my headlights when I went down and up and back over this way, and it was not a person. It was a creature taller than the ceiling. He was hair all over him. He was gray, the color of a deer, and you could see kind of the wind kind of blow it, it'd be darker underneath. And he had been rolling in alkali dust, and alkali dust was coming off of him. And I saw him walk across the road, and he went out to the right and just disappeared into the sagebrush. I looked at my son. I just went on up to where he was, stopped. Because I thought I was seeing a fantasma. I wasn't for sure I saw this thing. If I'd have been by myself, I might not have believed that I saw anything. I thought maybe it was a fantasma. Optical illusion or something. But I saw it for so long. I saw it walking. Now, I was a hunting guide and a fishing guide. I became the tribal hunter for the Western Shoshone tribe later. And I've been all over these mountains. I've hunted horses all over here, Mustangs. I gathered them up, trained them. I have roped Mustangs, them coming at you with their feet and their teeth. For some reason, I was never afraid of that. I was as cautious. I'd do it. I did it a lot of times. You can get hurt. Been run over. 19 wild musks or anything run over me one time. I think every one of them put a foot on me. It doesn't feel good. Wasn't something I'd like to repeat again, but I did it. I fought bear. Tagged the last lion in the state of California. The last hour, the last few minutes before it went into a moratorium. Even got one on a ranch up there because we had to. After that was the biggest one. It was 11 foot long. You know, I wasn't afraid. That 11 foot lion one time almost jumped on top of me. Knocked me half down. He was a monster. He's like an African lion. Like a female African lion. He's big. Way over 200 pounds. Big lion. The last one I tagged was 85 pounds. Now that cat, 85-pound cat, can give you trouble. My sons used to think I was about half crazy. Knock a bobcat down, stick my foot in their mouth, or a raccoon, reach down there with them clawing and biting and kicking, and tie their feet up with clothesline rope and throw them in a dog box. Hunted wild hogs with a 22 pistol. That's all I ever hunted them with. Big Russian wild boars. I'd shoot one about 14 times one time to stay alive. Got him finally. Killed a lot of wild hogs in my life. Never was afraid of them. Had another pastor with me, old Dieter Bergstrasse. He said, "You crazy Indian, you're going to get killed." I said, "Don't worry about it. Let me go get a 30-06. Don't need it. Got my 22. I'd jump out there, reload that thing, and go back, and they'd be snapping their teeth like a pop, like a shotgun going off almost. Boom, boom, boom. Snap, snap, snap with their teeth, charging at me. Shoot, shoot, shoot. They keep charging, knocking them down, knocking them down. My son was there and saw all this. Jerry did. And I had a Model 29 Smith & Wesson 44 Magnum sitting in the seat right there. And I was terrified of that thing out there. Now, Marilyn, have you ever seen me shoot pennies in the air?
Yeah.
Yeah. How many pennies in the air did I shoot without missing one time?
About 21.
21 pennies I shot in the air without missing. Mm-hmm. Do you think that I could shoot a big object like a Bigfoot with a 44 Magnum pistol?
Easily.
My grandfather taught me how to shoot little bitty things. He'd take out there 20, 30 yards away, and I'm a baby, setting me on his lap with his 22 Remington Target Master, helping me hold it up and teaching me how to sight it. And when I got it sighted, he said, "Pull the triggers, Jimmy. Pull the trigger, Jimmy." I learned how to shoot 22 shells. Did I ever teach you how to shoot 22 shells? Did I?
Yeah.
Did I teach you how to strike matches with a 22 rifle?
Yeah.
Did I teach you how to drive tacks?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Shoot little bitty things and you hit big things real easy. And I was terrified of that thing. Terrified. Because it was something that I didn't know. It was a fantasma. And these boys are all terrified right here. They're terrified. Because they have seen a fantasma walking around, and they thought, they judged that a phantom, a specter, a ghost he is. Now we know there's no such thing as ghosts. There's demons out there. And there are angels, fallen angels, that appear in different forms. A phantom, a specter he is. And they cried out emphatically, "Ah!" Now, I didn't scream down there when I saw this thing. I came up there and I looked, stopped this place. I said, "Son, did you see something across the road?" He said, "What'd you see?" I said, "What'd you see?" So we went on for about 5 minutes, "What you see and what you see." And he grabbed a spotlight to shine. I said, "Leave that thing alone. Put that spotlight down." He said, "Dad, you got a 44 Magnum in the seat and it's loaded." I know that. Not big enough. Not for what I saw. It wasn't big enough. I wasn't about to fool with this thing. This was spooky. That had been a wild hog, 500 pounds, no problem. A bear, no problem. Got on there and he said, "What do you see? What do you see?" And I took off. He said, "Let's look for tracks." "No, let's don't." I took off, went about 7 miles down to the corner, and I got down there. I said, "What did you see, son?" "Do you think it's a deer walking on his hind legs?" I said, "No." "Do you think it's a bear walking on his hind legs?" I said, "No." I said, "I'll tell you what I saw. I saw something about 7 or 8 foot tall with short hair and a rear short neck, swinging his arms, walking across the road in front of me, but I saw him for a long time. But I saw him walk across in front of the lights." I said, "And dust was coming off of his short hair. It's colored like a deer." And I said, "Dust is coming off." "Yeah, yeah, that's what I saw. That's what I saw. That's what I saw." And he said, "Let's go back and look for it." And I said, "Leave it alone." We drove down the valley from right here, right down there, about a mile and a half from here, or a mile, maybe not even that far. We drove down south till we come to the boonies. And I live right behind the Boonies, this little restaurant and bar. It stays open all night long. And Jimmy, we had hardly any clothes on. We were out there taking a bath. And I didn't take a lot of clothes on. Out there maybe just sometimes go out there in my underclothes with a pair of overalls on or something. Went home and got dressed. Jimmy said, let's go over there to the Boonies. See if anybody's seen anything strange. Fontissima. So we went down there. Norm Williams was there and Robbie Michaels and some others. So I got a Dr. Pepper. Jimmy got a Dr. Pepper. And we were sitting around just talking. So Jimmy sauntered over there to Norm and he said, Norm, because we bought our property from him. Norm, did anybody ever see anything strange down at the hot tub? He said, well, yeah. He said, there was a guy that got killed down there. He was mauled by some animal. But it could have been somebody just murdered him, you know, stick the dog on him or something. He's dead, just the same. And then Robbie, over there in another place, Robbie, he says, did anybody ever see anything strange down there? He said, oh, yeah, them Indians live down there. Those Kennedys live down there. They moved down there to Lower McNett, which was right there. It's right here where Lower, you know where Lower McNett is, Marilyn? So they were living down there at that house in Lower McNett, and they had a bunch of goats. And several nights in a row, a Sasquatch came down there and grabbed a goat with it screaming its head off, terrified, and all the other goats screaming, and took off with it. We didn't tell them anything. I went home down there in Bakersfield, near Bakersfield anyway. And I told my mother what I saw. We hadn't telling each other. In the meanwhile, when I got back home, we went back to my little mobile home. I said, Jimmy, I know what I saw, but I don't believe it. I don't believe in them at all. I saw a Bigfoot. I saw a Sasquatch. That's what I saw. And I don't know what to make out of, because I have no room in my cranium for that thing. I don't know what it is, but I said, I know one thing, that it's not of the earth. It's not natural. Well, Dad, he said, I'm really disappointed in you. He said, I never saw you afraid before. He said, you jumped on that Mexican gang. You arrested those guys. You had a shootout with them, all this stuff. He said, and you're afraid of this thing. I said, that thing's not normal. I said, we got something here that's out of our realm, out of our dimension. This is weird. And I'm terrified of it. Well, my mother called me up a few days later and she said, somebody else saw that thing up there. It was surveyors. They saw the same thing you saw. They described it. And she said, here is a number from Bigfoot Research and you call them. So I called them. And boy, I had phone calls for years because of my background. Because I didn't believe them. And they called me and my son. And if you go on Google right now and put in Bigfoot sighting near Dyer, Nevada, on Google, you can read that account. Then you can read another account of another Fontissima right up here, about 8 or 9 miles above me, at the bottom of the Entrail Canyon, at the bottom of the Boundary Peak, where the trailhead is. 5 people saw one up there. Not the same one. The description of it was not the same as what I saw at all. But it was something different. It was something unusual. Mm-hmm. They said it looked like a giant ape. Now, let's go to 50. Ponte Sgarraton. Adon kai etaroxteton. Ho de ictus. Elach ilalesen. Met auton. Kai lege autois. Farizete ego eimi, me phobeste. My Bigfoot sighting, they say, was one of the most bona fide, verified sightings they ever had from anybody. The Monster Quest called me and asked me about it. And they told me I was real lucky, and I told them, well, I wish I hadn't been lucky. I said, I've never been so terrified in my life. And they said that I was zapped by this thing. This thing has the telepathic ability to strike the alpha person with fear. And I said, well, that's what it did, I can assure you. For they saw him. All of them saw him, and they were struck out of their minds. They were terrified. Tarasso is what this word comes from. They were agitated. They were like in a giant earthquake, in a tornado, a hurricane. It means troubled waters. The trouble in your mind, it means to just literally terrify you, to shock you. They were in shock. I was in shock. For days after that, I was in shock. They were in shock. And the one immediately, he talked and spoke to them. This ilalesan. This word here means to speak with human language. With them, and he says to them, be of boldness. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When Marilyn wanted to buy property on this creek and live here in Nevada, I had some reserve about that. I wouldn't mind being down there in the valley, down that way, down around, down by the boonies where I lived before, or down there by the community center, but I didn't really want to be up here on this creek. I never wanted to be up there on this creek because that's the trail where this thing goes. But I love that woman so much that I just conceded and I bought this property, and I'm glad I did. Except that I hope I never see a Bigfoot ever again. I do not ever want to see one again. Not with a cannon. Not with a 300 Winchester Magnum or a 30-06 or a 45 Colt or a 44 Magnum, nor a 357 Magnum. You know, David killed Goliath by divine power. He took five stones because there were five of those Bigfoots, so to speak. Now, Goliath was a Nephilim. That's a cross between angels and mankind. And they're not easy to kill. Now, years later, I finally deduced, I concentrated on this thing. I tried to figure out what I had seen. And what I think I saw was what took place in Genesis, the sixth chapter. And what Goliath was. And Og was. These were Nephilim. Nephilim means falling ones. Fallen ones. Now when they fall down, it's a big drop. But Goliath and his brothers and Og were about the same size as a Bigfoot. And it said they had six fingers and six toes. And many families of Bigfoot have six fingers and six toes. And they never find one dead. And they're not easy to kill. Neither were those giants. David killed one with divine power. Now they went after the other four, by the way. David almost got killed by one of them. They wouldn't let him go back. And it names every one of them in the Bible that was killed. And they were powerful. Extremely powerful. Now, they didn't have 44 Magnums back then, but they had spears and they had arrows and bows. Slingshots. David killed that one with a slingshot, but I tell you what, it wasn't David that killed that Bigfoot, that Nephilim, that Goliath. It was God's divine power that guided that thing into his forehead. And David cut his head off with Goliath's sword. And he says to them, have courage. It is I am. Exodus 3:14, I am the Eternal One. Not you fear for yourselves. Don't be afraid anymore. Kai anabe prosautu. Eis to ployon. Kai ek pa eko pasin. Ho animos. Kai leon en yautos. Ex is tanto. And he went up toward them unto the boat. Unto and into. That's ace there, extension, limitation of thought or verbal action. In reference to the boat, in the boat, and to the boat, and immediately he struck the wind. He struck the wind. Third person singular. First aorist, indicative active. He struck the wind. And exceedingly in themselves, they were absolutely in shock. They kept on being in shock. I know exactly what they felt like. Exactly. Ugar sine con. Epi tois artois. Alla ein auton. He cardia. Peporomene. Or they did not understand the subject concerning the bread. But they kept on being of them the heart, having been hardened, petrified. Petrified and calloused. Now let's go back and read here in the Amplified Bible from about 49. And when they saw him walking upon the sea, they thought it was a ghost, a raised, deep, throaty shriek of terror. For they all saw him, and they kept on being agitated, in shock, troubled, and filled with fear and dread. But immediately he talked with them and said, "Take heart, I am. Stop being alarmed and afraid." Exodus 3:14, "I am the eternal God." That's what he said, "I am the one that Moses spoke to." Jesus said he was. And he went up into the boat with them, and the wind, he struck the wind and sank it as if exhausted by its own beating. Struck. And they were astonished exceedingly beyond measurable. Beyond any measure, any ability to measure. For they failed to consider or understand the teaching and meaning of the miracle of the loaves, the parable of the loaves. In fact, their hearts had grown callous and had become dull and had lost the power of understanding. Let's go on now. 53. Kai diaperon santes epitain gain elthon eis Gennesaret, kai proso mis theson. Now, we know that the oldest manuscripts omit this. But the land had changed so much that in later times, this verse is put in there. And having crossed through upon the land, that epi tain gain is not in the oldest manuscripts. It said, having crossed, passed through, they went, is what it literally said. But later on, they put in epi tain gain. And they found this, by the way, the difference in it, they found a manuscript in the Dead Sea Scrolls that had the gospel mark in it. Oh. And it omitted this. Right here. And they thought that maybe because of the later configuration, the land had been changed so much by the wars that they decided to put this in there later. And they went unto Gennesaret. And they were anchored. they were fastened. They drew up to shore. My note down here is the oldest manuscripts omit this phrase. After 70 AD, back in the oldest manuscripts, this phrase is not found because the writers of the manuscripts later thought an explanation was in order because the Romans so destroyed the countryside that the scribes thought this explanation was necessary to understand the thought of this verse better. That doesn't mean the Bible is perfect. The Bible's perfect. And now we got a little phrase put in there. So we know it's there. It's still perfect. 654. Chi XL Thonton. Alton Ectu Ployu. Euthus. Epinontes Alton. And coming out, as they came out, them, out of the boat, immediately, having known him, fully understood, 653 and 4. And when they crossed over, they reached the land of Gennesaret, and they came to anchor at the shore. And as soon as they got out of the boat, the people recognized him. That means the crowd recognized him. Now let's look at 55 and 56, and that's where we're going to finish for this evening. Pere dramon. Holon tein koron. Ekenein. Kai exonto, that is. Epitois krabatos tois. Tous kakos. Ekontes periferein. Hupu akuan hote esten. The whole bunch, whole land, the entire countryside, were running out to him. And they began for themselves upon the pallets, the beds, the crobatones, the beds of the ones being sick. These are the clinical beds. These are the stretchers. They're bringing people out to him in stretchers. The ones being in bad shape, cockles, in bad shape, and having to be carried around where they were hearing that he is. 656. Kai Hupo on Ace et peruto, ace comas, a ace ploies, or poles, a ace agrus, in tes agores, eti theson, tus astanuntes, kai parekalu. Altun, Hina, Khan, Tu, Kras, Pidu, Tu, Hematiu, Altu, Hopsonte, Kai, Hosoi, On, Epsanto, Altu. And wherever he continued to enter, into villages, Komas, into villages, and into cities, we get a word police from this word polis. We get a word police. Police, police the cities. Unto the cities, or into the fields, the agricultural areas, in the markets, the marketplaces, the agras. Agriculture comes from this word, agorais. Markets, marketplaces, farmers' markets, you might say. They placed and put and stood the ones being ill. And they kept on begging and calling him in order that if even the fringe of the garment of him they might touch, and as many as touched him for themselves
they were healed.
Eso tanto.
They were saved. They were healed.
So we finished the sixth chapter. Let me read this again in the Amplified. And they were crossed over, they reached the land of Gennesaret and came to anchor at the shore. As soon as they got out of the boat, the people recognized him. And they ran about the whole countryside and began to carry around sick people on their stretchers to any place where they heard that he was. And whenever he came into villages or cities or country, they would lay the sick in the marketplaces and beg him that he might touch even the fringe of his outer garment. As many as he touched were absolutely restored to health. They were saved. Esso sonta. Third person plural, imperfect. They kept on being saved. By the way, if you're ever going to get saved, you're going to have to be saved. You're not going to get yourself saved. You're going to have to be saved by the King of the Glory. And that's Jesus, the one that did all this. Our Savior and our King. Our Father, we send this message out to you today. We pray for one out there that does not know you, that they will come to know you in a personal way, repent of their sins and call upon you to save them, that you will be believing that Jesus is the God of miracles. That he did this, not like Thomas Jefferson, that he took all the miracles out of the Bible and called it Jefferson Bible. We believe in the Bible of miracles because it's a miracle that we're born again. It's a miracle that we're saved. That we are saved. Having been saved by the power of you,